retreat. We've been in touch with them, and they seem to be having a good time. So we continue to pray for them as they come down from the mountain, the physical mountain and the spiritual mountain. I also want to send you greetings from the All Africa Conference of Churches. I spent the week out in Kenya and arrived back yesterday. Remember the mission that I asked you to pray for, that I had gone to do the opening preach for the conference on African churches on Israel and Palestine. A very difficult mission, but the Lord went ahead of me and answered your prayers, and we were able to speak the word into the situation, as well as to have discussions that were fruitful, discussions that are mature, and discussions that are Holy Spirit led, so that in the end we came out with the conclusions that each and every one of us should do our part to make sure that there is eventually peace and justice in the Holy Land. Otherwise, it is the Holy Land in name only. Currently, it is the Holy Land physically, full of bullet holes, explosion holes, and all sorts of other holes which are very negative. And our prayer is one day there will be peace in that land, there will be justice in that land, so that the world doesn't have to be arguing all the time. From the time we were born, right, until now, the world continues to be arguing about what to do with issues in the Middle East. And they continue to suffer year after year after year. And so we pray that we will be used by God to play our part. So this morning we are focusing on Luke chapter 12. We finished Luke chapter 11. We are continuing with the series on Luke. And so we are at Luke chapter 12 and verses 16 to 21. And so let us read. And he, that is Jesus, told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord to God's people. Amen. So I want to start off with a question for the children, because today we are privileged to have the children among us. So now that they are here, I want the children to give me some answers to these questions. It's got to do with food. So the food is, we're doing an analysis of bread versus cake. So when it comes to bread versus cake, which one do you prefer? Cake is all I hear. Fine. Which one do your parents provide on an almost daily basis? Do they provide bread all the time, or do they provide cake all the time? Bread. You love cake, but they're always providing bread. Huh? Which one, if you have lots of it, makes you sick? Cake. If you have half the cake, you're surely going to fall sick, and you're going to get diarrhea, and you're going to have a stomach ache. But no matter how much bread you have, you just feel full, but you won't feel sick. Which one can you have as bread in the morning, sandwich in the afternoon, and dinner rolls at night? Bread or cake? Bread. So basically, what we are saying, sorry kids, cake is delicious, cake is sweet, cake is nice, but it is not the one that is good for you. You need it in moderation. You can only take a little bit of cake, but lots of bread. I'm going to include this story in my sermon so that we hear exactly what we're saying about cake and bread and this rich person. So what we have here is a parable of a rich person who has an abundant harvest. So he's rich already, he has an abundant harvest, and now he gets richer. So when we look at the story and the way that Jesus eventually calls him a fool, there are many people who misinterpret the story and they preach against riches and they preach against wealth. And I want to say to you, my friends, that is not what Jesus is saying. The parables of abundance are many. Jesus talks about parables of abundance to show that Jesus likes people to have abundance. If you look at the parable of the sower, Jesus is saying that you must so prepare your field, your spiritual fields, that when you put grain into it, there must be an abundant harvest. So Jesus is talking about the fact that if you put seed in good soil, there will be an abundant harvest, because Jesus understands agriculture, just like there's agriculture today. Jesus talks about a different parable of the hired laborers, and he talks about how a master has a foreman who hires more and more laborers so that the harvest can be abundant. So Jesus is talking about the fact that masters want their harvest to be abundant. There's nothing wrong with having more, with having much, with having an abundance. Jesus talks about a parable of the wheat and the weeds, and talks about the fact that if we want there to be lots of wheat in the harvest, let's not now tamper with the weeds that have now grown and entangled with the wheat. Because if we try to remove the weeds, we'll also kill the wheat. So Jesus says, let them grow together, because we want to preserve the wheat. We want to have an abundance of wheat. Jesus also talks about abundance parables of banquets. Jesus is always talking about banquets because the people in those days were big on banquets. So he talks about banquets, and banquets are all about abundance. And Jesus says there was a king who had a banquet and invited important people. The important people did not come. So in the end, Jesus opened out the doors to the street people, and the street people came in, and there was an abundance of food. So I want to be clear. I am not preaching a sermon against riches, against wealth, because God wants us to have abundance in our lives. God does promise abundance for us in his own time and in his own goodness, and he knows how much is good for each one of us. It's not for us to determine how much abundance is good for us, but it's for us to pray for abundance. And so why is it that Jesus now says to this man, you fool? He is a rich man. He has produced a good crop. Then Jesus is looking at him in this parable and now saying, you fool. Why is Jesus saying that? Why is Jesus sounding like he's against abundance? Why is Jesus talking like he's against prosperity, against riches, against wealth? Because I want us to analyze this. The man has had a good crop. Now, those of us, in fact, all of us in Zimbabwe know about crops. Whether you run a farm or you've got a little garden in the backyard, this is one of the good things about Zimbabweans. As I travel to other African countries, I want to tell you, Zimbabweans are the only culture that love to grow their own food, which is a good thing. So anyhow, every one of us has a little garden patch, and as I have been visiting people, especially those who rent out just a few rooms in somebody's place, and they're just tenants. Some of them are actually growing their vegetables, their rape and their chamolia and their tsunga, and they're growing it in flower vases. And it comes out beautifully with big leaves like this. So I want to commend anybody who is growing anything. But anyone who's growing anything, whether for your own self or at farm level, will know that to produce a good crop, you need three things. You need hard work. So if you want to produce a good crop, you've got to have hard work. So this man must have worked hard. Number two, he must have done some good planning and preparation. Because you can't produce a good crop if you have poor planning, if you're not watching the weather, if you're not watching the change of the climate, which is exactly what's happening in Zimbabwe. Many people have not gotten it, that our climate and our seasons have changed, so you can't plant in the same times that you used to plant when you were growing up. It's changed altogether. So you've got to have hard work, you've got to have good planning and preparations, and you've got to have good maintenance. Maintenance means you do the fertilizing, what it needs to be fertilized, either with manure or whatever fertilizer, and then you've got to do the weeding that you need to do at the right time as well. So this man must have done a good job of hard work, planning, as well as maintaining, so that now he's got a good crop. And so the wealth in itself, the good crop in itself, is not a problem. It is a blessing. And when you read throughout scripture, especially in the Psalms, the Lord says, I will bless the ones whom I love, the ones who obey me, the one who follows my commands. I will bless them with an abundant crop. Sometimes the word will say, I'll bless them with many children, though I'm not sure that we want to be blessed with many children these days. But anyhow, the word also says, I'll bless them with an abundant crop. So the Lord sees, God sees abundance as a blessing. And even with our biblical characters, the ones that God was supporting, the ones that God was loving, God was giving abundance to them. Solomon was given abundance when he asked for wisdom. King David was given abundance. The Apostle Paul was given an abundance of people that were led to salvation because God loved him. So abundance is not a problem in the Bible. And Jesus is not against abundance. So the question is, what is the problem? How does Jesus come to the point of saying about somebody, you fool? Even today, if somebody says to you, you fool, it is just an insult in the same way that it was an insult in those days. So what is the problem? What is Jesus' problem here? If abundance is not the problem. The problem is two things. The first thing is that this man is self-focused. His focus is on himself. I want you to see that in three verses, in three very short sentences, this is the conversation that he's having with himself. He says to him, it says, he began to speak to who? To himself. Not to other people, not to God. He has an abundance of crop, and he begins to sit there and speak to himself. He is all about himself. So it says he began to speak to himself, and he says, I do have all this abundance, but I have no space to put it in. So it's, I have abundance. I have no space to put it in. And so this is what I will do. I will tear down my old barns. I will store it in new barns. I will say to myself, I will say, you have, as in me, you have a lot of abundance. You eat, you drink, you be merry, you be happy. So it's all about I. And I counted the number of times he refers to himself and I in those three lines. 10 times. I. He has an abundance, and now he focuses on himself. But surely, when you have an abundance of crop, and it's a lot, so that you now need a new granary, and you now need new barns to put it in, surely it's logical that you are never going to eat up everything that is in those barns. So surely when you have a conversation, when you're having a dialogue about all those barns, all those silos, you're going to have a conversation with somebody else. Because you are not going to finish everything that is in those silos. You must surely be speaking to somebody about what is in those silos. But for him, it's all about I. And that's us. That's us many times. That when God has blessed us, God has blessed you with a good child, a child who is successful, a child who is doing well in school, or a child who's got a good job. And all you talk about, all we hear from your mouth is, my child this is going to do this for me, and I'm going to go and see my child, and this is what's happening to me because of my child. I. But you forget that it was God who formed that child in your womb for 9 months, or in the womb of your wife for 9 months. It was God who sustained that child until that child came out. It was God who protected that child from evil. But when that child is doing well, you sit there on your sofa and you think about I. Problem number two, storage type. So he's talking about, so the problem number one is that he's self-focused. Problem number two, his storage type. So let's see what his storage type is. He says, I have no place to store my crops. That's the problem that he's faced. That's not a problem. You have no space, so you want to make more space. Fine. But what he decides is that because he has no space to store his crops, I want you to know that he's already a rich man. It says in the very first verse that he's already a rich man. So he's already got storage. Now he's got more abundance. He wants to build more storage for himself. So what is happening is that he's now planning bigger ones for himself. So on this side, he's got storage. Now he's got abundance. He's going to crush down this storage. He's going to build bigger storage and put all the abundance in that bigger storage. That's fine. The only problem is that there is a disequilibrium because he's focusing on his storage that he's going to crush down, and then he's going to build bigger storages. He is not remembering that there's God's storage as well. He's focusing only on his barns and on his storage space. He doesn't give a single thought to the fact that God also requires you to also fill God's barns and God's storage space as well. So this problem is that he's focusing on one type of storage and not the other. So remember that for a big harvest, and all of us know this, this is logical, this is common sense. For you to have a big harvest, you've got to have the hand of man, which we said is the hard work, the planning, the maintenance. But you also need to have the hand of God. The hand of man plus the hand of God equals an abundance of harvest. The truth is, no matter how hard you are working, and those of you who've lived in Zimbabwe and who live in Zimbabwe today will know, you can work hard, you can do all the excellent planning, you can do all the excellent maintenance and have a poor harvest. Because sometimes there will be no rains, so you can do your part, but it is the Lord who gives you good rains. It is the Lord who prevents pests from taking over. It is the Lord who prevents flooding from happening. It is the Lord who prevents droughts from happening. It is the Lord who prevents somebody else from coming over and invading and taking over your farm or your place or your little plot of land. So what it is that the hand of man, the effort of man, plus the effort of God gives you what you have. So for you to have your children, for you to have the abundance that you have, for you to have food, it is your effort plus God's effort equals even the clothes that you have. Whatever it is, even your skills, even your talents, whatever it is that you pride yourself in, I want you to have a reality check. It's not just about you. God has given you those skills. God has given you those gifts. God has given you a healthy family. But it is God who has given you those skills. It is God who has given you those abilities. So it's your effort plus God's effort to have what you have. So the problem is, whose storage are you focusing on? So whatever you have, yes, you can store. There's nothing wrong with storing. Jesus' many parables talk about wisdom and storage. So you must store for yourself. You must prepare for your retirement. You must prepare for your children. You must educate your children. But do not make the mistake of storing for yourself so much that you forget to store for the Lord. Because this is the problem. It says here, Jesus says to him, "You fool, because you stored up things for yourself, but you were not rich towards God." Verse 21. This is what will happen to anybody who stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. So what I'm talking about, back to the children. We're talking about bread and cake. You can't just do cake, cake, cake. Because when you're storing up things for yourself, it's cake, cake, cake. It's for yourself, self, self, self. And that cake, cake, cake cannot just be good for you. You need to think about the bread of life. And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And Jesus says, man cannot just live by bread alone, but on the word of God, which is all in Jesus' storage space. And so many of us, when we store for ourselves, we are like a foolish child who wants to eat cake, 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 cake. And we forget that we need to eat of God's bread. We need to put into God's storage. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, for the school children, I'm talking about improper fractions. This is the reason. You know, some of you hate your math teachers, and you say, all this algebra, where are we ever going to use it in life? Here it is. Here's the algebra. If you store up for yourself and you don't give to God, you've got an improper fraction. This is why your math teacher says, solve this improper fraction so that you find a common denominator, so that this side and that side begin to match. Then you make the fraction whole. For school children, you've got a unbalanced equation. So once again, why are our teachers teaching us equations? Because even in life, you need to fix your equation so that if you're focusing only on storing for yourself and forgetting to store for the Lord, you are living with an imbalanced equation or tilted scales. There is zero equilibrium. And where there's zero equilibrium, then you cannot be blessed by God. So what it is you need to remember, my friends, which is what Jesus is basically saying. Your role is to plant. God's role is to grow. When you have planted, God has grown it. Do not forget the storehouse of the Lord. Do not forget all the unexplained abundances. I want you to sit right now and think of all the unexplained abundances that have come into your life, not because you're anything special, but just because the Lord has blessed you. Let me give you some simple examples. You know, there's an expression in Zimbabwe that says these young people are called the born freeze. If you're born after 1980, in Zimbabwe you are referred to as the born freeze. You are very lucky. You don't even know the sound of a gun. You don't even know the sound of a bomb. When we were little, we knew the sounds of bombs. We knew the sounds of guns. We knew the sounds of sirens. When we were running around, when we saw a helicopter out in your neighborhood, we'd go and hide in our homes, because it was those times in Zimbabwe when there was some war. But you were born free. You have no idea what that's like. That is a grace that God has given you. And it is high time, when you get your abundance, to come and remember to give to the Lord, because you were born free. I have a lot of dealings with Ghanaians, because we do a lot of work with the Ghana churches. And one of the biggest Presbyterian churches in Africa is in Ghana, the Ghana Presbyterian Church, which has about 1,000 schools and has about 300 presbyteries. Presbyteries means areas of churches. Anyhow, I'm talking about Ghana because the last time I was in Ghana, and we went to the slave castles in Ghana, on the coast of Ghana, went to the Elmino slave castles, where this is what was happening in Ghana in those days of the slave trade. You'd be minding your own business in your villages, living your happy Ghanaian life, you would be captured against your will, you would be tied up, you would be led to the castles, and then you would be put on a ship to be taken to a land where you travel for 2 months on some ship, chained up, chained up. There's no toilets, you are doing all the pooping and the weeing on yourself, excuse my language, for all those months that you are in that ship, until you get there. When you get there, you'd have hose pipes waiting for you, and they would hose you down to clean you up, and then they would dress you up, and then they would sell you. So now you've got no mom, you've got no dad, you've got no wife, you've got no child, you've got no relatives, you're in a strange land, you've been sold to somebody. All of us are born free. When I talk to my Ghanaian friends, they are still traumatized by what happened to those relatives of theirs. And to this day, there's some levels of lack of freedom in their minds, lack of development, lack of growth that you Zimbabweans will never know, because you were born free, never enslaved. And that is the grace of God. And just for that reason alone, you should concentrate not just on your own barn, but on giving to God a gift of thanksgiving every single month. This is the reason why God says, bring to me your tithe. Because out of the 100% that you have, God only wants 10%. And you know, God is amazing. God is fair. God is too fair. Out of your 100%, the government taxes you about 40%. The government wants about 40%. And that's not fair. Because sometimes I feel like it's my hard-earned money. And so why should I give 40% to the government? But God is saying, give me only 10%. And when you give me 10%, it is 10% of the 100 that was mine in the first place. So this 100 belongs to God in the first place. And God says, give me only 10%. And many of us just forget to do that. And then we expect to be blessed by God. Well, today I'm not sugarcoating it. You cannot treat God like that and expect blessings. It doesn't work like that. It is an improper fraction. It doesn't work. Your math teacher will tell you, solve the improper fraction. Many of us were born fine. So I talked about the born freeze. We are all born fine. We've got everything in place. We don't have a single one of you who is blind. Not a single one of you who is deaf. Not a single one of you who is a cripple and cannot walk. But these are realities for many people. And many of us, when we see them in town and they are crawling around because they cannot walk, our eyes cannot even bear to look. So the moment we see them, we turn our faces because we can't handle it. When we see street kids and they're smelly and they're dirty, we turn our faces because our minds can't handle it. You are born fair. You are born fine. And for that reason, you should be so grateful to God. You should be taking whatever belongs to God and giving it into God's storehouse so that the church can now go and feed and service the poor and the vulnerable. In the same way that this church is servicing the vulnerable by giving them skills. But in order for us to give the vulnerable skills, we need you to take from your storehouse, give some of it to God. And when you give some of it to God, we'll now take it and serve God's vulnerable people that you find very hard to serve. Born free, born fair, born fine. And so what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying in verse 21, that's the bottom line. If you want any goodness to come out of your life, be rich, not just in your own storehouse, be rich in the storehouse, even of God. In your budget, in your monthly budget, where is God's storehouse? In your plans, where is God's storehouse? In the day, where is God's hour? You have 24 hours a day. Where is God's hour in your day? In your week, you have 7 days a week. And the Lord's day is only one out of seven. But many of us struggle to give God the Lord's day. When you are thinking of expansion, like the rich man, when you're thinking of remodeling your house, remodeling your life, where is God's part? In your attitude, where is God's part? Mari read for us this morning a verse to do with giving, when we were giving. It's a verse that talks about how we must give not reluctantly, but we must give joyfully. And so in our attitude, where is God's storehouse? I want to tell you that when I have money, or when one of my relatives has sent me money via Western Union, you know that place, Western Union? When I'm going to Western Union, I'm happy. I've got a bounce in my step, and I'm going to Western Union, and I get to the table, and they say, give us your MTCN. You know MTCN is the number you give so that you can get your $100 that your whoever has sent to you from wherever out in the diaspora. And I'm excited. When I take my money and I start planning, so I'm going to go to spa and I'm going to buy some groceries. I'm going to go to the hair salon. I'm going to get my hair done. And I'm excited. So as I'm giving to the various things that I'm giving to, I've got an excitement in my spirit. But when we come to church and we say, please give to God, how many of you want to stand up with a spring in your step and give to God excitedly? Some want to give reluctantly. You open your purse and you think, I don't have change. Because you don't want to give God anything significant. You're looking for the $1. That's what you think God deserves. So instead of being excited, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, when it's time to give to God on a Sunday, if you're going to give grumpily, if you're going to give like it's out of compulsion, if you're going to give like you're being forced, don't give. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And when you want to give to the storehouse of God, give out of a clean attitude. Because God is going to bless the money that you give out of a clean attitude. If you don't have a clean attitude, get on your knees and you say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Then open your purse and you better give to God cheerfully, excitedly, ready to jump up and down that you've given to God, in the same way that you're excited when you pay for whatever it is that you pay for when you've got money. So it says, there's a saying that says, if you are not hungry for God, you are probably full of yourself. If you're not hungry for God, you're probably full of yourself. Remember, when you store up your storehouses, when you make your plans for your own self, remember to also store up for God. For it is the Lord who gives you all that you have. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.